Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, Miss Williams?
Yes.
Are you by yourself?
Yes, I'm all alone today.
Okay. Okay. And Angela?
Hello.
Hi. Good evening, Hubert.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Shalom, shalom.
Mom, Daddy Werner?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Angela, you want to go ahead and get started in Genesis?
Genesis, verse 1, the treachery of Jacob's son. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor and Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he took her and lay with her by force. And he was deeply attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father, Hamor, saying, "Get me this young girl for a wife." Now Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter, but his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob kept silent until they came in. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. Now the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem long for your daughter. Please give her to him in marriage and intermarry with us. Give your daughters to us and take our daughters for yourselves. Thus you shall live with us, and the land shall be opened up before you. Live and trade in it and acquire property in it." Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, "If I find favor in your sight, then I will give whatever you say to me. Ask me ever so much bridal payment and gift, and I will give according as you say to me. But give me the girl in marriage." But Jacob's son answered Shechem and his father Hamor with deceit, and spoke to them, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to them, "We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for what would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we consent to you, if you will become like us, in that every male of you be circumcised. Then he will give your daughter to you, and we will give your daughters to you, and we will take your daughters for ourselves, and we will live with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and go." Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for that, Angela. And that was the reading out of Genesis 34, 1 through 17. Let's see, we had Auntie Betty to join us.
Yes.
Good evening.
Evening. How y'all doing?
We doing fine. Okay, I'll do roll call, and if I miss anyone, just let me know. I have Ms. Williams, Angela, Hubert, myself, Mom, Daddy Werner, and Auntie Betty. Okay. All right, we get this prayer service going tonight. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
For God is good all the time. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the Nellis Family Weekly Prayer Service. Tonight is an open session, and I pray that you all brought some good news to share. If not, just say pass. May everyone bow their head for the blessing of the prayer line, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We enter into your courts with praises. Father God, we would like to thank you for all that you do, for all that you are doing, and for all that you will do, in Jesus' name. Father God, for you say when there are two or more gathered together in your name, that you would be in the midst of it all, and we thank you for that. Heavenly Father, we ask that you remove anything and everything that is not of you away from our prayer service. Allow your wonderful words to flow through these airways, and allow us to be doers of your word. Father God, we ask that you order our steps this week and lead and guide us the way that you want us to go, in Jesus' name. We ask that you restore peace in our lives. In Jesus Christ's holy name, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, Matthew 19:26. Mom, would you read that for us, please?
Okay. Jesus looked at them and said, With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you for that, Mom. Okay. We're going to go down the list here. And Hubert, any good news to share with the group tonight?
Yes. Yes. I would like to give you all a godly experiment. God has an incredible story. And we all... a part of it. So if you all will take the reading of An Invitation to Grace out of Isaiah 55. Can you all hear?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Isaiah 55. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come receive grain and eat. Come without pain and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heal me and you shall eat well. Heed me and you shall eat well, sweet God. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully, listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefit assured to David. And I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the nations. So shall you summon a nation you knew not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God, who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Yah. As high as the heaven are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. For just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to him who sows and bread to him who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. Yes, in joy you shall depart. In peace you shall be brought back. Mountains and hills shall break out in songs before you, and all the trees of the countryside shall clap their hands. In place of the thorn bush, the cypress shall grow. Instead of nettles, the myrtle. This shall be to the Lord's renown, an everlasting and impenetrable sign. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in sight. Yahweh. Amen.
Amen.
Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Hubert. Auntie Betty, any good news to share tonight?
Yes, I'm going to read from the book of Romans, chapter 10. The brother, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might say, for I bear them record that they have a will of God, not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does the same shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saying, not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend unto the sea, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what says it? The word is knowledge, even in their mouth and in their heart. That is the word of faith which we speak. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Great.
Thank you for that, Auntie Betty. We have Daniel to join us.
Amen.
By yourself?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Ms. William, any good news to share with the group tonight?
Yes, I would like to share from Jeremiah 17, beginning with verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turn away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salty land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree that is planted by the waters, that send out his roots by the stream. It does not fear when he comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. The explanation for, let's see, verses 5 through 8, it says that those who trust in man, when trouble comes, they will have nothing to lean on. They will be spiritually weak, and they will have no substance, no strength to draw from. But those who put their trust in the Lord will have abundant strength, and will not only have strength for themselves and their own needs, but they will have strength and help for the needs of others. There's a question. Are we satisfied with being unfruitful? Or do we like a well-watered tree that has strength? If yes is the answer, it is time now for us to put our trust and hope completely in the Lord, that we'll be able to bear fruit and have enough to share with others. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Ms. Williams. Daniel, any good news you have to share with the group tonight? Okay, I'll come back to him. Daddy Verner?
Yes, I would like to read 51 number of Psalm, starting at the fifth voice. Behold, I've taken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thy desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken my rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgression. Have that turn over. Yeah, hold on. Turn the pages. And grace of my ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thy desire not sacrifice, here would I give it so the light is not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and a whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Daddy Verner. Angela, any good news to share with the group tonight?
I'm going to read from the book of prayer. And it's played in that order, like you play it to eight, right? You play it to eight, the O, or how. Come on, straight, Gina.
Okay, so why not ask, oh, that you would bless me indeed. You're at a spiritual retreat in the mountains with others who want to experience a fuller Christian life. For the duration of the retreat, everyone has been matched with a mentor. Yours is in his 70s, and he's been touching lives for God longer than he's been alive. On the way to the showers the first morning, you walk past his room. His door is ajar, and he has just knelt down to pray. You can't resist. How exactly does a giant of the faith begin his prayer? You pause and you lean closer. Will he pray for revival? Pray for the hungry around the world? You? But this is what you need. Oh Lord, I beg you first and most this morning, bless. Startled at such a selfish prayer, you pad down the hall. But as you're adjusting the water temperature, a thought hits you. It's so obvious. You can't believe you haven't thought it before. Great men of the faith think differently than the rest of us. By the time you're dressed and heading for breakfast, you're sure of it. The reason some men and women of faith rise above the rest, you decide, is that they think and pray differently than those around them. Is it possible that God wants you to be selfish in your prayers, to ask for more and more again from your Lord? I've met so many earnest Christians who take it as a sign of immaturity to think such thoughts. They assume they're seen impolite or greedy if they ask God for too many blessings. Maybe you think like that too. If you do, I want to show you that such a prayer is not the self-centered act it might appear, but a supremely spiritual one, and exactly the kind of request our Father long to hear. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Angela, where did you get that reading from?
The book of Jabez.
Oh, okay. I thought it sounded familiar. Awesome. Thank you for that. Thank you. Yes, amen. Daniel, are you with us? Okay, I'll go next. Yes, Daniel.
Hey, I'm been trying. I'm messing up on the phone tonight. For you. Look, seems like. So how everybody do? I just want to say I love everybody, and I just want to do a tribute because I wasn't prepared for tonight.
Okay.
But, God lift me up where we belong. Where the eagles fly. It's a mountain high. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You sound prepared to me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Daniel. Okay. I would do the reading out of the Daily Bread, and it calls Time for a Change. Many believers long to spend daily time with God, praying and reading His Word. Ironically, they are often distracted by a busy schedule. Frustrated mount as business seems to crowd out an opening in their schedule. Oswald Chambers was wisely committed on the transforming power of even 5 minutes in the presence of the Lord. Indeed, even a short time spent in intercession and the Word still has great value. It is not the thing on which we spend the most time that mounts up, but the thing that exerts the greatest power. 5 minutes with God and His Word is worth more than all the rest of the day. Now, it may seem like Chambers has made an overstatement, yet powerful results can come from even a short time of prayer, because God is powerful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our days are filled with busy demands that crowd out time spent in listening to and responding to God. But no matter where we are, any time taken to build our own spiritual altar to the Lord, as Abram did, opens the door to His transforming power. If you're having trouble establishing a time with God, you could start with just 5 minutes and see where it leads. Our God longs to meet with us and show His power in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Mom, any good news to share with the group tonight?
Yes, I'm going to be reading a passage in Psalm 61. Psalm 61, but it said, lead me to the rock. In Psalm 61, adversary calls the summit to become weary of life and to faint. Like us, he hoped to find divine protection from his adversary. Yet at times like this, God seems so far away. Nevertheless, the summit calls out to God, as we often do, because of God's promise. The past record. He has been there for him in the past, and he expects no less now. In spite of the summit, knowledge of God's past performance in delivering him from adversary, perhaps he still had questions. For example, will he do it again? Or does my past conduct warning him to lift me again? Or perhaps, how long will I have to wait? At the closing of this summit, the writer expressed confidence in the protection hand of the Lord and proclaimed that he will sing praise to your name and fulfill my vow day after day. Like the summit, we often long to dwell in a place of complete safety. We too want to live in constant fellowship with God. Like Peter, we want to build tabernacle high above the surface and helpness that exists in the valley. Yet it is our Lord who goes down the mountain to the valley. He alone is up to the task. The prayer said, Lord,
help me to make you the object of my hope and the base of my trust. Please forgive me when I worry. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you for that, Mom. And that takes us right into our birthdays, week of August 18th through August 24th. I have myself down for the 24th. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I have Auntie Alice down for the 24th. Any other birthdays we need to recognize?
We got Teddy Bunner for the 21st. And the 20th. And Alan, Anna is the 20th.
Anna, the 20th.
Daddy Bunner, 21st.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Who could do this birthday song for me? Auntie Betty?
Loretta.
Yes.
Here we go.
Wait a minute.
All right.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Other birthdays. All right, I'm ready.
I know Willie Williams on the 25th.
That's the Uh-huh.
I guess the, did we do Frida last week?
Yeah, uh-huh, yes,
okay.
We did.
Good.
Okay.
Betty?
Auntie Betty?
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, all of God's children. Happy birthday to you. And many, many more. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Auntie Betty. Okay, that takes us right into our sick and shut-in. So if everyone would bow their head. Dear Heavenly Father.
Excuse me, Loretta.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to add Chef Terry and the catering crew to the list. We all got burnt today by a harmless mistake. Okay.
Catering crew. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Terry, Chef Terry. Yeah, she got burnt the baddest. All right. Good. Thanks.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the healing that you are doing for our family, friends, and loved ones, especially Ms. Wanda, Michael and Denise Moody, Jessica Smith, Quentin Jermaine, Vicki Hussman, Chef Terry and the catering crew, Eddie Tipman, Valerie Crockett, Maxine Johnson, Angela Burns, Uncle Champ, Lenny and family, Rayco family, Jordan family, Carlos and the Wells family, Hubert and Daniel Lowe, Uncle Dave, the Rossiter family, Janet Williams, Rochelle Bessler, Charles and Val, Ruth Edwards, Tony, Malachi, DeMarcus, Norris and family, LaTanya, Uncle Oliver, Mary Lowe, Rodney Clark, Erlene Parker, Mary Ann, the Adams family, Cheryl, Miss Waters, and family, and anyone else that we are not aware of, but stand in the need of a prayer. Father God, we ask that you give them the strength that they need to keep pressing forward with Jesus Christ. Dear God of the universe, stand by them in the hour of their need so that adversity will not overwhelm them. We believe in the power of the blood. Therefore, we plead the blood over all our sick and shut-ins, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. In Jesus Christ's holy name, let everyone say amen.
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 Amen. Lord.
Amen. Amen. Okay, that takes us right into our praise, testimony, songs, and poems. So I'll go down the list. If you have anything else you want to share with the group tonight, please do so. And I will start with Hubert. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Hubert?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would like to read out the book of Isaiah, second chapter, starting in verse 6.
Rosalind, where are you going? Come on, y'all ain't going to get Rosalind, man.
The day of the Lord. For you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of things from the east and to the, hold on just a second, let me get a bigger book, hold on, bigger words, a larger print, hold on, here we go, be patient with me, okay, all right, here we go, chapter 2, I will start Zion in chapter 2 of Isaiah, the Messianic capital. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall steam toward it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us climb the Lord mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his path. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, for the Lord hath called thee, Zerubbabel. The Lord judgment against idols, you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with fortune tellers and soothsayers like the Philistines, the covenant with strangers. The land is full of silver and gold, and there is no end to the treasure. Their land is full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. The land is full of idols. They worship the works of their hands, that which their fingers have made. For man is a base, each one brought low. Do not pardon them. Get behind the rocks, hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. The haughty eyes of man will be lowered, the arrogance of man will be abased. And the Lord alone will be exalted on that day. For the Lord of hosts will have his day against all that is proud and arrogant, all that is high, and it will be brought low. Yes, against all the cedars of Lebanon and all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains and all the high hills, against every lofty tower and every fortified wall, against all the ship of Tasha and all the stately vessels, human pride will be abased, and the arrogance of men brought low, and the Lord shall be exalted on that day. The idols will perish forever. Men will go into caves in the rocks and in the holes of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. When he arrives, he overrages the earth. On that day, men will throw to the moles. Men will throw to the moles and to the bats the idols of silver and gold which they made for worship. They go into caverns in the rocks and into the crevices of the cliffs from the terror of the Lord of hosts. and the splendor of his majesty. When he arises to overawe the earth, as for you, let man alone, in whose nostril is but a breath. For what is he worth? May the Lord add of, well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted by him in his sight. Yahweh, bless Allah. And I'd like to say, Pam said hello to everybody on the prayer list, but she's been helping me, guiding me to keep me on the straight and narrow path. Her and Loretta Bo. Amen. And all the rest,
amen,
too, in prayer. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Bless Allah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Hubert. Auntie Betty, anything else you want to share with the group tonight?
Yes, I want to sing.
Amen.
I say yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I say yes, oh yes, I will trust you and obey. Can your spirit speak to me? And my whole heart I agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speak to me and my whole heart I agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes.
Mahia. Go on, Mahia.
Yeah, get out of here now. I know what I'm doing.
Okay. Thank you for that, Auntie Betty. Thank you. Very moving. Next, I have Ms. Williams. Anything else you have to share with the group tonight?
Yes, I would like to share with us an excerpt from Benny Hinn's Angels and Demons. And the title of this is Wake Up. It said we must learn to attune our ears to God when he asks, why are you fearful of the devil? The Almighty wants to know, who are you that you should be afraid? You forget that the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, you have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Here God directly challenged the devil, as if to say, I dare you be angry when I show up. And the Lord is telling us to stop trembling in our boots over the enemy. Wake up. Start relying on and trusting in God. Fear God instead of the devil. Then the Lord painted this picture. The captive exile hastened that he may be loosened, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. God was looking at a man who was bound by the devil, worried that he would die of hunger and wanting to be free from the trap in which he was found. Next, the Lord God Almighty made an appearance proclaiming, I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roll. No matter what situation you might find yourself in, the Lord is all sufficient. He is all you need. God can bring peace to any storm or situation. Finally, God made this amazing statement. I have put my words in your mouth. This is your key to victory. He places his anointed word inside of you. And when you declare it with your lips and believe it in your heart, whatever binds you will be loosed. and we will be able to walk in freedom. Oh, the miraculous power of His Word. Now the Lord can begin working through you. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. What an awesome truth. When you began speaking the word, God works the word. The planting has begun, and a great harvest is being prepared through the power of His word that He's planted in us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Miss Williams. That takes me right into Daddy Verner.
Okay, my subject is trust God, love people. God never commanded you to trust people. God commanded you to love people and trust Him. Know the difference. Your joy and victory depend on it. Be tough. Life is a collection of battles. Sequentially, it is also a collection of victory. Reach down deep inside yourself today and call forth your greatest strength. Today is not a day for weakness. It is time to be tough. In the word, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118:8.
Thank you for that, Daddy Verna. Okay, that takes me right into Angela. Anything else you would like to share with the group tonight?
Yes. It's called A Father, A Daughter, and a Dog. True story by Catherine Moore. Watch out! You nearly broadsided that car, my father yelled at me. Can't you do anything right? Those words hurt worse than blows. I turned my head toward the elderly man in the seat beside me, daring me to challenge him. A lump rose in my throat as I averted my eyes. I wasn't prepared for another battle. I saw the car, Dad. Please don't yell at me when I'm driving. My voice was measured and steady, sounding far calmer than I really felt. Dad glared at me, then turned away and settled back. At home, I left Dad in front of the television and went outside to collect my thoughts. Dark, heavy clouds hung in the air with the promise of rain. The rumble of the distant thunder seemed to echo my inner turmoil. What could I do about him? Dad had been a lumberjack in Washington and Oregon. He had enjoyed being outdoors and had rebelled in pitting his strength against the forces of nature. He had entered grueling lumberjack competitions and had placed often. The shelves in the house were filled with trophies that attested his prowess. The years marched on relentlessly. The first time he couldn't lift a heavy log, he joked about it. But later that same day, I saw him outside alone straining to lift it. He became irritable whenever anyone teased him about his advancing age, or when he couldn't do something he had done as a younger man. 4 days after his 67th birthday, he had a heart attack. An ambulance sped him to the hospital while a paramedic administered CPR to keep the blood and oxygen flowing. At the hospital, Dad was rushed to an operating room. He was lucky. He survived. But something inside Dad died. His zest for life was gone. He obstinately refused to follow doctor's orders. Suggestions and offers of help were turned aside with sarcasm and insult. The number of visitors then finally stopped altogether. Dad was all left all alone. My husband, Dick, and I asked Dad to come live with us on our small farm. We hoped the fresh air and rustic atmosphere would help him adjust. Within a week after he moved in, I regretted the invitation. It seemed nothing was satisfactory. He criticized everything I did. I became frustrated and moody. Soon I was taking my pent-up anger out on Dick. He became bicker and argue. We began to bicker and argue. Alarmed, Dick sought out our pastor and explained the situation. The clergyman set up weekly counseling appointments for us. At the close of each session, he prayed, asking God to soothe Dad's troubled mind. But the months wore on, and God was silent. Something had to be done, and it was up to me to do it. The next day, I sat down with the phone book and methodically called each of the mental health clinics listed in the yellow pages. I explained my problem to each of the sympathetic voices that answered in vain. Just when I was giving up hope, one of the voices finally exclaimed, "I just read something that might help you. Let me go get the article." I listened as she read. The article described a remarkable study done at a nursing home. All of the patients were under treatment for chronic depression. Yet, their attitudes had improved dramatically when they were given the responsibility of a dog. I drove to the animal shelter that afternoon. After I filled out a questionnaire, a uniformed officer led me to the kennels. The odor of the disinfection stung my nostrils as I moved down the row of pens. Each contained 5 to 7 dogs, long-haired dogs, curly-haired dogs, black dogs, spotted dogs, all jumped up, trying to reach me. I studied each one, but rejected one after the other for various reasons, too big, too small, too much hair. As I neared the last pen, a dog in the shadows of the far corner struggled to his feet, walked to the front of the run, and sat down. It was a pointer, one of the dog world's aristocrats. But this was a caricature of the breed. Years had he etched his face and muzzled with shades of gray. His hip bones jutted out in lopsided triangles, but it was his eyes that caught and held my attention. Calm and clear they became. They beheld me unwaveringly. I pointed to the dog. "Can you tell me about him?" The officer looked, then shook his head in the puzzlement. "He's a funny one. Appeared out of nowhere and sat in front of the gate. We brought him in, figuring someone would be right down to claim him. That was 2 weeks ago, and we've heard nothing. His time is up tomorrow. He gestured helplessly. As the words sank in, I turned to the man in horror. "You mean you're going to kill him?" "Ma'am," he said gently, "that's our policy. We don't have room for every unclaimed dog." I looked at the pointer again. The calm brown eyes awaited my decision. "I'll take him," I said. I drove home with the dog on the front seat beside me. When I reached the house, I honked the horn twice. I was helping my prize out of the car when Dad shuffled onto the front porch. "Ta-da! Look what I got you, Dad," I said excitedly. Dad looked, then wrinkled his face in disgust. "If I had wanted a dog, I would have gotten one, and I would have picked out a better specimen than that bag of bones. Keep it. On it." Dad waved his arm scornfully and turned back towards the house. Anger rose inside of me. It squeezed together my throat muscles and pounded into my temples. "You better get used to him, because he's staying." Dad ignored me. "Did you hear me, Dad?" I screamed. At those words, Dad whirled angrily, his hands clenched at his sides, his eyes narrowed and blazing with hate. We stood glaring at each other like duelists, when suddenly the pointer pulled free from my grasp. He wobbled toward my dad and sat down in front of him. Then suddenly, carefully, he raised his paw. Dad's lower jaw trembled as he stared at the uplifted paw. Confusion replaced the anger in his eyes. The pointer waited patiently. Then Dad was on his knees hugging the animal. It was the beginning of a warm and intimate friendship. Dad named the pointer Cheyenne. Together, he and Cheyenne explored the community. They spent long hours walking down dusty lanes. They spent reflective moments on the banks of streams, angrily, for tasty trout. They even started to attend Sunday services together. Dad sat in a pew and Cheyenne lying quietly at his feet. Dad and Cheyenne were inseparable throughout the next 3 years. Dad's bitterness faded, and he and Cheyenne had made many friends. Then late one night, I was startled to feel Cheyenne in our bed. He had never before come into our bedroom at night. I woke Dick and put on my robe and ran into my father's room. Dad lay in his bed, his face serene, but his spirit had left him quiet. 2 days later, my shock and grief deepened when I discovered Cheyenne lying dead. I wrap his still form in the rug he has slept on, and Vic and I bury him near a favorite fishing hole. I silently thank the dog for the help he had given me in restoring Dad's peace. The morning of Dad's funeral dawned, overcast and dreary. This day looks like the way I feel, I thought as I walked down the aisles to the pews reserved for family. I was surprised to see the many friends Dad and Cheyenne had made filling the church. The pastor began his eulogy. It was a tribute to both Dad and Cheyenne. And then the pastor turned to do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without even knowing it. I've often thanked God for sending that angel. For me, the past dropped into place, completing a puzzle that I had not seen before. A sympathetic voice that had just read the first article, Cheyenne's unexpected appearance at the animal shelter, his calm acceptance and complete devotion to my father, and the proximity of their death. And suddenly I understood. I knew that God had answered my prayers after all. Life is too short for drama or petty things. So laugh hard, love truly, and forgive quickly. Live while you are alive. Forgive not those who make you cry. Forgive now those who make you cry. You might not get a second time, but do share this with someone. Lost time can never be found. God answers our prayers in His time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, I'm a dead lion. Bruh.
Okay, that takes me. Thank you, Angela, for that reading. A father, a daughter, and a dog. That was an awesome reading. Mom, anything else you have to share with the group tonight?
I'm going to attempt to sing my song, Lord of the Dance.
Amen.
I dance when the world begun, and I dance in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and danced all night. At the held my head, my purse, dancing wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, says He. I lead you all, wherever you may be, I lead you all in the dance, says He. I dance for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I dance for the fishermen, for James and John, they came to me and the dance went on, standing wherever you be. I am the Lord of the dance, says He. I lead you all, wherever you may be, I lead you all in the dance, says He. I danced on the Sabbath when I cursed the Lamb. Behold me, people said, for the shame, they whipped and they stripped and they hung me high, and they left me there on the cross to die. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, says He. I lead you all, wherever you may be, I lead you all in the dance, says He. I dance on a Friday that the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body, then they thought I was gone. But I am the dance, and I still go on dancing wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, says He. I lead you all, Wherever you may be, I lead you all in the dancing team. They cut me down and I leaped up high. I am the life that I never, never die. I live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dancing team. Standing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dancers. He, I lead you all wherever you may be. I lead you all in the dancers. He, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, that takes us right into our serenity prayer. And Daddy Werner, would you lead us out in that, please?
Yeah. Here we go. God grant me.
God grant me.
The serenity to accept.
The serenity to accept.
The thing that I cannot change.
The thing that I cannot change.
The courage. To change the thing that I can change.
To change the things that I can change.
And the wisdom. To know the difference.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Okay, that takes us into our closing prayer. We have Psalms 23, and Ms. Williams, would you do the closing prayer for us, please?
All right.
Everyone would bow their head, please.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, truly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Ms. Williams. And going back to the serenity prayer, thank you, Daddy Werner, for that. Well, that concludes our program for tonight. The Nellum family and friends would like to thank everyone for joining us. I pray that there was something shared that would help us through our busy week. God, we pray that you continue to bless our prayer line, America, and other nations.
Loretta, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I want to say something before we close out, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
God, it's me, it's we, it's us, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
All right, we're going to have to give you a name because you want to sing every week. That is awesome. Amen. Thank you for that, Daniel. Okay, we will put on our full suit of armor for protection from our enemies. Remember to put God first in all that you do. In 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eyes has seen, nor ears have heard, nor the human heart conceive what God has prepared for those who love him." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God loves you, and so do I. Everyone have a blessed week, and good night.
Good night.
Good night. Love you all.
Love you.
I would like to leave you with this for the week, Deuteronomy 10:12. What does the Lord your God require of you but to walk in all his ways and to love him? Good night.
Amen.